Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where I chat to some inspiring women that make us think differently about our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Dr. Marion Gluck. Hello and welcome.
Hi. I'm delighted to be able to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Now, Dr. Marion Gluck is a doctor, an author, and the prestigious founder of the Marion Gluck Clinic, Hormone Clinic, to help health and bioidentical hormone balance therapy for both menopause and perimenopause symptoms for women and testosterone replacement and andropause treatment for men. So, Dr. Marion, lovely to chat to you. And it's your first podcast, and I'm so sorry, we were meant to be last week, but you can hear in my voice that I thought I had COVID. Thankfully, I haven't. I've still got a dreadful cold, but it was very understanding of you. Thank you so much for changing our schedule.
You're welcome.
Now, I thought you were originally from Germany, where you trained and you've travelled all over the world and you've worked in Australia, but that's not actually the case. Is that right?
No, that's not exactly the case. Actually, I'm Australian.
Oh.
I'm Australian, but I'm also Polish. I'm born in Poland and I lived half my life in Australia, the other quarter in Germany, and the other quarter here in England. So I studied,
wow.
I've been everywhere. I've lived in many countries, but
amazing.
Germany is where I studied medicine, where I actually learned medicine, where actually I was inspired to do medicine. And that's my German background. But I was born in Poland, grew up in Australia, went to Germany, went back to Australia, came to London.
Amazing. So a whole blend and a whole blend of lovely accent, because you don't sound Australian, do you? And
no.
So that's why I wrongly thought that you were German. And with a name like Gluck, I thought was for happiness, you know.
It's exactly what it means. My father is Viennese, Austrian, and Gluck means luck and happiness. That's right.
Oh, and what a joyous name. And you're certainly bringing that joy into your work. And we're going to talk about all of that today. So where have you been in lockdown then? What have you been up to?
I've been incredibly lucky during lockdown. I moved to East Sussex. I bought myself a little cottage on the beach in East Sussex just before lockdown. And I've made it into my permanent home.
Oh,
so
fabulous.
I'm actually sitting in, which is no longer a cottage because I swapped it for my forever home, and I'm looking at the sea. My hair's still wet because I had a swim this morning.
In the sea?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
It's beautiful. So I've been incredibly lucky. I've been in the fresh air. I've been in the nature. I've been in East Sussex. I have daily walks in the meadows and on the beach every day. So I consider myself incredibly privileged and lucky and grateful.
Wow, what brilliant timing. Thank goodness
for
that. So we'll dive straight into the fun and games.
Please.
Now, hormones aren't always happy, are they? And has lockdown and COVID made everyone's hormones worse? I bet you've been inundated with people saying, you know, they need help with how they're feeling.
COVID has given a lot of people time to think about themselves, do something for themselves, look into what's going on to their lives. And yes, definitely inundated. Yes, very busy. You know, women have had time to think about themselves and even to take care of themselves a bit. Everybody's been more reflective in this time, and there's been
definitely big
changes. So yes, COVID has changed that. And I'm very fortunate because I can help many women and men, you know, balance their hormones. And I have a message to women, you know, and it's, you know, hormones are a girl's best friend. And this is the way we should look at it.
That's so true. That's a great way of looking at it, because it isn't funny, is it, if our hormones are out of alignment for women or for men. And it's brilliant that you treat men too, because actually a quarter of our listeners are men. I hadn't realised you treat men too. So you specialise on the subject of hormones and imbalances. And I know it became your mission to educate and empower particularly women to take control of their well-being, as you have and you are with your amazing lifestyle. And too often people ignore the symptoms or fail to seek help and suffer in silence, don't they, really? They don't realise anything is wrong.
No, it's much too often. First of all, they don't realize anything's wrong. They think they have to bear and grin it. you know, how often do women say hormones are the bane of my life? Well, they shouldn't be, on the contrary, because hormones are the, you know, they give you all your vitality, your energy, you know, being sexy and being, you know, just feeling alive. And it's only when hormones are not balanced, when there's this imbalance, when they're not aligned, that we feel dreadful and out of sorts, and, you know, it can get incredibly severe, you know, from premenstrual tension to postnatal depression, to perimenopause, to postmenopause. But hormones should be happy hormones. It should be happy. And I want women to realize that there is a solution, and it's a safe solution. You know, women have been given an extremely raw deal that for a long time they were given hormones. It was meant to be the panacea of all things. And then suddenly it was taken away from them in early 2001 when we had the Women's Health Initiative study. And no one knew what to do. So my mission is to sort of, you know, I don't want women to fear their hormones. We're born with our hormones. They are what they make us, who we are, how we look, how we behave. And it's only when we're not aligned that things go askew.
Gosh, that's a lovely way of looking at it, actually. And so many women, you know, of all ages, because it can happen from 20s, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, can't it? Anytime.
I mean, look at puberty. Look at young girls. I mean, yes. When they turn 14, puberty, they're a nightmare. And boys also. I mean, look what happens. And yes. It's hormones.
Yes, you know? Of course it is. It's hormones. And actually, you know, there has been a bit of a stigma shift, though, and people are slightly kinder, aren't they? But I think there's a long way to go with the understanding, you know, at home and in the workplace, isn't there? And you do champion that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just too much misinformation about and absolutely stigma. We really have to educate everyone. And sadly, we still have to educate a lot of women. You know, you can be intelligent, educated, but many, many women don't know how their body functions. They don't even understand their own cycle, and they've had it for 20, 30 years.
That's so true.
And why they have a cycle, how it works.
Yes.
And so in my consultation, sometimes it's a biology lesson.
Yes. Well, that's what everyone's struggling, you know, me included, to remember, you know, the hormones and the diagrams and the, you know, what it's all about. But we're creating awareness for these hot topics, so to speak, as Menopause Month is in October. But
that's right.
The Davina McCall TV documentary, I don't know if you saw that, but that was admired by a lot of women and shed light on some of the things that none of us do know, including me, and how important they are. And I know you're passionate about helping people feel like themselves again. And there are a lot of jokes and teasing about women's hormones, but it's a major stage, isn't it, to a woman's life. And profound physical and emotional changes to our bodies and minds. And actually, I used to live in Australia as well, and a girlfriend of mine over there, when we were chatting about women's symptoms, she sent me a cartoon about the seven dwarves of the menopause. Have you ever seen that in Australia?
I have. Can you remember? Go on. Can you?
It was itchy, bitchy, and then I think it was psycho, and an awful lot of things that actually...
With Australian cycle, love, but grumpy. It was very funny. It was grumpy.
Yeah, it was very, very funny.
It was
funny.
Quite disparaging, yeah.
But it was very funny. But the itchy side was something that I was unaware of. And things like that, and the fact that deodorants stop working unless you change them. And things like this, you just think, what's going on? But your clinic is well-known, world-leading, and you are the world's leading pioneer of the use of bioidentical hormones. Get that? I mean, how amazing is that to improve our well-being?
I have been doing it for over 25 years now, and it started in Australia. So yes, it is actually very true, and I'm very proud that I've put bioidentical hormones on the map.
Definitely, because women are afraid of HRT, aren't they now, and saying, is it horse urine? Is it going to give me an illness? There was some research, and it's a bit of a mystified arena, isn't it? But yours is different. Yours is, there's body identical and bio identical. Is that right? Do you want to explain a bit about?
Okay, no. Body identical and bio identical are the same, are exactly the same. When we say body identical or bio identical, means that the hormone molecule is identical. identical to the hormone molecule our body produces. There's a long history to this, but since the early 40s, we have been able to convert plant hormones into bioidentical hormones. We could get progesterone from the soybean, and this is a chemical reaction. And I could go on for a long time, but I won't waste the time of this podcast to do it. But the reality is, from progesterone, you can make all hormones which are identical to our own. However, at that time, it was very, very expensive to make and produce and so on. So pharmaceutical companies went into the research. It was also the time of feminist emancipation was beginning. It was in the 50s and the 60s, and the pill, you know, they discovered the pill, and the pill was made with artificial hormones. And they continued the research on artificial hormones. So the artificial hormones behave like hormones, but they have horrendous side effects, which we know. They are not hormones, they are hormone drugs. So that's why, so people are afraid of hormones, but what they don't realize that their own hormones are totally safe. Nature wouldn't produce something in our body which is detrimental to us. On the contrary, you know, we need these hormones. For example, you know, we need estrogen to have strong bones. We all know that. You know, and we forget that men get osteoporosis because they don't have estrogen. And women after menopause get osteoporosis because they don't have estrogen. So hormones, and really and truly, hormones are a girl's and men's best friend.
Yes, and you can see you smiling with that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's the artificial synthetic hormones, right, which are a disaster for us. They are not good for us. They are not healthy for us.
Yes.
And they've been proven to be at times unsafe and have bad side effects.
Yes. So you can literally take someone's blood, or you analyze them psychologically and mental health and take them through this journey to give them natural hormones. Is that right?
Absolutely. Bioidentical hormones or body identical hormones are natural. And when we say natural, the definition of natural is everything that already occurs in nature. Well, here we are. They're natural because they occur in us. Yes, that's what I do. I take a very, very detailed history, also a hormone history, you know, how they feel. It's a very detailed history. But I coincided with blood tests because hormones fluctuate in the months. That's why we have our periods. That's why we ovulate. That's why we get pregnant. So we need to understand, first of all, the monthly cycle and how certain hormones in certain times of the months, how they work and what the balance should be.
Wow.
And the reality is a lot of doctors will say, well, you can't do any blood tests because the hormones change all the time. It's right that they change all the time. But when you know the history of the person and you understand them, you understand.
Yes, the hormones and why they change. So you could, yeah, you could literally treat people, women, whether they're going through puberty, whether they're perimenopause or before the menopause starts and after, to help them with osteoporosis and things like that.
Absolutely. I think women should be prepared to go into menopause. They need to know what's happening and what they need to do. And that starts actually much earlier. You know, a lot of women say, oh, you know, when I had my periods, it, you know, I couldn't go to work. Everybody was angry with me. I hated the world. And it was the bane of their life. And they never got treated properly. Yes. And some women, to the devastating, you know, hormones are such a bane in their life that they end up having hysterectomies and taking the ovaries
really?
Out.
Oh my
no, but this
goodness.
But this is
really
not even uncommon. Yes. This is sadly much too frequent, much too frequent.
Really?
Gosh, so people are literally coming to you when they get to a desperate stage rather than getting help along the way as they change, which it sounds like, you know, we all need to come and see you.
Well, luckily, women are talking more and they are, you know, I certainly have patients in the mid-40s say, look, I need to know what I want to, I need to know what's going to happen to me. What
really?
Do I need to do? Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I have healthy patients and they want to stay healthy.
Yes.
And by balancing hormones is one of the best ways of keeping their health and their energy, their vitality. It's so really important.
We all need some of that energy and vitality. Goodness me. And you know what you're talking about because you've written several books on hormones. Mm-hmm. Not just a strong, pioneering female founder, but you're the author of two best-selling books, It Must Be My Hormones, and It's Not My Head, It's My Hormones. So you do That's know right. what you're talking about. So hormones affect our sex drive and relationship, hot flushes and weight gain, and as you say, weakened joints and osteoporosis. Now, the description when I look up hormones online, being not a scientific person like yourself, and we're talking layman to our listeners here, says hormones are your body chemical messengers, but they seem to do everything. I mean, this was news to me as well when I researched this last night. Our growth, our metabolism, our appetite, our energy, our heart rate, our sleep cycles, our sexual function, our reproduction, our moods, our stress, our body temperature. I mean, that's pretty much everything, isn't it? Crucial.
Hormones regulate every function in our body. They are the chemical messages that tell one cell to do something else. Be it,
amazing.
It goes to your thyroid, your bones, your uterus, your brain, your hair, whatever. And that's why do we fear hormones?
Why is it such a sort of dirty word, isn't it? When people say hormones, it's like, oh, don't. It's very strange, but actually you demystify it. And it can not just be brain fog, but mental health, including serious depression, can't it? And people are really suffering with their mental health. I mean, your blog said 18.7% of adults show anxiety or depression, but I think in lockdown that must have gone up significantly.
Most likely, certainly did. I mean, we have progesterone receptors in our brain. And when there is an imbalance, I mean, if we don't have a sufficient amount of progesterone, anxiety is a result. Anxiety is a result. And the reason why there's so much hormone imbalance now is because our environment has so many hormonal disruptors in it, all the pesticides, the chemicals, perfumes, the petrols, the paint. We are surrounded by chemical disruptors.
Gosh, and that makes this worse.
Well, it makes it more and more and more common,
Yes.
I mean, I laugh. In my generation, when we were growing, everybody was worried about how not to get pregnant. Today we have a totally different fertility problem. Young women are afraid that they may not get pregnant, and many don't and have to have fertility treatment. Why did this happen? It's because of, sadly, the disruptors, the chemical disruptors in our environment. It's our polluted environment.
I didn't know that, and that is really worrying,
but it is actually very true.
The younger women are worried about fertility, and the older women are worried about aging. I mean, aging's a tough one, isn't it? Collagen goes, and those fish drinks, and I have tried some myself. They're a little bit, what's the word? Fishy sort of...
Yucky.
Yes. And actually, your hormone profiling can almost reverse aging with collagen.
For example, skin. Something I also do now is I actually prescribe what I call the hormoneceutical skin creams, anti-aging creams for the face, which very, very low dose hormones, because the hormones actually wake up the fibroblasts in the skin and reactivate them. They reactivate them to make collagen and hyaluronic acid. So it's topical and it works brilliantly. So you have the hormones which go into the bloodstream as messengers, but you also topically to wake up just what's underneath the skin, the fibroblasts to make you glow again.
Wow, and that's what we all want. Sounds like you've got the answer for everything.
Hormones are the answer.
Hormones, not you. Oh, you're very modest. You're saying it's the hormones, not you. But in terms of helping women, the Influential Women podcast, we chat to women about their work, their life, their influences and their mantras, but also about any adversity or setback they've been through. So is there anything personally that you'd like to share in terms of that you've been through to give others strength to survive and thrive from?
I think probably the most detrimental thing I ever went through was actually in Australia when I did my medical degree in Germany. I worked in Germany for 10 years as a doctor. And then I went back home because I was Australian. I went home. I wanted my son to grow up there. And when I arrived in Australia, I was treated like a foreigner because I had a foreign medical degree. So I could not, all the expertise, all the knowledge I had, I couldn't use at all. And I became quite political because I was one of many overseas trained doctors who weren't allowed to work in Australia. So I became an activist and tried to fight the Australian Medical Council. And I was trying to fight for justice for all the overseas trained doctors and also for the patients who did not have access to doctors. But it took me 4 years. And every year I would sit the medical exam and every year they would fail me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I had to be on benefits.
Goodness.
Benefits. Because you weren't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to work as a doctor. So I was on a sole parent pension. So that was a really, really, really rough time in my life. Yes, it was tough. But I overcame it. And I was lucky enough because I became president of the Overseas Doctors Association that I could actually change things in Australia, and the generation after me of new doctors have been able to settle much, much easier.
Oh, how fabulous.
Yeah. And to say that, I was incredibly grateful when I came to the United Kingdom in 2006. I was so welcomed, as you know, nobody asked me where I came from or where the degree was. I was just welcomed as a new doctor here. And as a result, I could work the way I wanted to do. I built up my hormone clinic, and I'm incredibly grateful to the way I was welcomed here.
Wow. And you were ahead of your time, you know, with being an activist, a feminist, and championing to help women and doctors. And good for you. And that'll give people strength to keep going, you know, as you did for 4 years.
You have to fight it. You have to fight whatever you believe in. If you believe in something, then don't give up on it.
I like that. I like that. Good for you. So lifestyle choices, you're putting us all to shame by your morning swim and your glowy look there. So for recent polycystic ovary syndrome awareness and for menopause, some of the things you've got on your website. So stay active, walking. What are the tips that we need to be doing? Having omega-3?
I mean, activity is hugely important. Eating the right foods. Don't eat junk. Don't eat trash. Don't eat anything processed. Eat as much organic as you can. I mean, we have to think of our environment now. We have to reduce our meat consumption. I think eating healthily, I mean, of course, supplements are incredibly important. Fish oil, magnesium. But it's being aware of what we put inside us is now more important than ever before. Yeah, and the activity. I mean, it's pretty simple, and just stay away from trashy foods.
And stay away from sugar. That's always
a bad drug
of choice, isn't it? For hormones.
I mean, sweet things, absolutely, absolutely not. You know, anything with sugar, anything. And the worst of all is the artificial sugar. Oh, my gosh.
Really? Yes.
These so-called light drinks. I mean, they are so detrimental to us. No, 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 no. I mean, there's lots of food tips I can give you, but it's, you know, it's complex carbohydrates, it's lots of green and red vegetables, fish, you know, sustainably sourced, and movement, you know, walk everywhere if you can.
Brilliant advice. Now, I did a little bit of research about the number of symptoms for menopause, and I was absolutely astounded. It said there's 34 symptoms. I mean, I don't know if it's similar for men, but we'll just talk about some, and we're not, you know, talking about this lightly in any way, but from the subtle and hardly noticeable to huge distress and discomfort, even affecting our relationships, top of the charts is irregular periods. So let's get it out there. People don't like to talk about the menstrual cycle. Flushes and flashes, over 75% of women overheat. And some are lucky not to feel a thing, aren't they? Night sweats. I don't know if you think CBD is a benefit or not for nighttime or for sleeping.
Oh, it's definitely improved. But I just need to correct you. At the very, very top of the list, and that was in my clinic, and I myself have seen thousands and thousands of patients. Believe it or not, the first symptom is low libido.
Oh, what, higher than the irregular? Because this was online with somebody else's feature.
Because people don't ask or don't talk about it.
Yeah, because they're too embarrassed to mention, really. So people not able to or not wanting to or all of
not
the
wanting
above?
To. No desire, not wanting to, not able to, too painful, too dry, lots of reasons, too tired. So low libido is, and it's very problematic in relationships. And that is what women going into menopause, they say, you know, yes, it's the hot flushes, it's the irregular periods, but the low libido is a very underrated symptom. And it's a very important symptom because everybody, it gives you a sense of vitality.
Of course. So what do people do then? Healthy, nutritious diet?
What do people do? Well, that's when they come and do hormone balancing.
You know, that, to make that, everything that work again. Wow.
Yes. I mean, there are lots of reasons for low libido. Vaginal dryness, for one. If it's painful, you will not want to have intercourse. If you get a urinary tract infection each time, you will not want to have intercourse. If you're too tired, if you just have no sensitivity, really, to have desire, you need to have a good experience to have that desire again. And it's a vicious circle. You know, if you've had, a night where you've had painful intercourse and afterwards you've had a urinary tract infection, you won't want to do it again very soon.
That's so true. And probably healthy to talk about. You know, there's lots of women listening or men and just think, gosh, that's me, but I've really not wanted to tell anyone this because everyone, you know, secrets and lies.
Lots of women don't want to say it. Lots of women don't want to say it. You know, I have lots of patients that say, my husband wants to have sex all the time and I just want to read. You know, I'm running out of excuses. And hopefully couples, because it takes two to tango.
Yes, and you've got the GP side as well. And probably it's got worse in lockdown and we can't laugh. And so they need to get in touch with you and everything will be will be happy for everyone.
Hopefully improve. But please continue with all your symptoms. Yes. I interrupted you.
No, not at all. So joints and dizzy spells and blood sugar. And actually that's something I had to increase, smaller meals more often, feeling a bit lightheaded. So we just need to encourage other women or men to be kinder and more understanding, don't we? Because we don't know what people are going through.
Well, I mean, also palpitations, anxiety, sudden panic attacks, getting over emotional, you know, worrying, suddenly becoming worrying about everything. All these things are symptoms of hormonal imbalance. Going into menopause, there are lots of imbalances on the way there. Yes. Once you're in menopause, then things change. The symptoms get less.
Yes.
However, then is a question, well, do I need hormones or don't I need?
Yes.
Don't I need hormones? Once again, that's a very, very personal question. But to maintain bones and energy and skin and brain function and so on, especially as we're living 40, 50 years past our menopause, we need those hormones to have good quality of life.
Interesting. Yes, so it is an awareness thing. And, you know, a lot of people will be grateful for that. And it's that transition of people not realizing what they're feeling, isn't it? And just, you know, reading up on it and finding out more information and getting some help and talking. So which strong women or men have inspired you then?
Which strong women? Madeleine Albrecht. I found her incredibly inspiring, and the women that and men that inspire me are women, really people who fight for human rights.
Interesting.
You know, so there are many. That's what I look for inspiration is
yes definitely people that are strong and fight powerlessly.
I mean, care for others. And I was very lucky as a young doctor. I had the first doctor I worked for, he was very, very humane and very kind. And I learned right from the very beginning what it meant to behave in a very respectful way with patients. And and always be part of the patient's journey. I would never tell a patient what to do. I would always advise.
Yes.
But I would inform also so that they could make an informed decision. I would advise and inform. And also patients, women, they're very intuitive. They're very intuitive. So yes. You need to listen to the patient. So I think lots of patients have inspired me. You know, I learned everything also from my patients.
Amazing. Oh, and it looks like it makes you happy. So your hobbies, I mean, you obviously relax and get in the sea and walking. And what are the hobbies that you do?
Well, no, I love being in nature. I actually do love walking. And I love the wind and I love weather and I love to see a lot of sky. So I can't say I have a hobby as such, but I just love to be outside and to walk. I am unfortunately a news addict, so I wouldn't call that a hobby, but I am also quite passionate about politics and things that are happening. And now that I'm, say, semi-retired, I'm going to get more involved in the local community in helping those that are less fortunate, whoever
Brilliant.
They may be.
Gosh, you're always helping someone. Good for you. And how lovely that you're in a, you know, nature environment down there and by the sea. How lovely. So do you have a mantra for living your life?
Count your blessings.
That's a lovely one, isn't it? That's so true.
Count your blessings. Just be great. Just count your blessings. Yeah, that's my mantra. I got that one from my mother.
Gosh, my father used to say that as well, actually. And it's so true, isn't it?
It is. So true. And when I start complaining about silly things, I just say, count your blessings and, you know, and it, shut up.
Exactly. All the things that are going right, because we can all find something, however bad people are feeling right now, we can all find something that we are very blessed. Yeah. So what's your next goal then?
My next goal is I want to get more involved in the community. And actually, I'm hoping to mentor or sponsor or buddy up with refugee families, you know, help them, teach them English, whatever. I'd like to be
Amazing.
A little bit more hands-on because
wow.
That's my personal venture. But I have another venture. because at my age, I'm also doing a medical startup for much younger women. And it will be a medical clinic online for younger women who suffer from PMS. And women who suffer from low libido, because there's a lot of younger women and they don't know what to do with the PMS and they don't even understand it. So it'll be educational, but at the end of a online consultation, they will also be able to get a prescription for their progesterone cream or their testosterone cream, which they would apply vaginally. So it's also to create awareness in much younger women that they can do something about their hormones, and there'll be a blog. So it'll be very, very informative.
Good for you.
Yes.
So so I have my sort of human rights mission, but the other one is I still very much want to empower the much younger generation that they should really realize that hormones are their best friend.
Yes, and give them help and guidance that they wouldn't otherwise have. Gosh, look at the energy you've got, and good for you for helping them and for the young women who are really troubled and lost in these times. And lastly, what key message of hope would you give to inspire and influence women or men listening out there, and where to find you?
I think believe in yourself. You know, I think that's really, really important. Don't get discouraged if others do things differently around you or disapprove. Stick to your guts. That's another thing my mother would say.
Oh, I like that.
Stick to your guts. I just think that's important. And where to find me?
Yes, where to find you?
You can go onto my website, www.mariangluckclinic.com. And you can always reach me through my clinic, through the website, because it is now an online clinic and we have quite a lot of doctors there, but I'm always there. I'm present there. I'm with them. I'm mentoring doctors and training doctors. So it has very much the spirit of Marion Gluck.
Wow. And what a lovely spirit of Marion Gluck we've had today. And that's been a lovely story. I've really enjoyed your journey and such a privilege to talk to you. I'm sorry I was ill last week, but to talk to you as the head of the clinic and on your first podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
It is my first podcast. Yes, I must say it's very enjoyable. I really feel like I'm talking to lots of people.
You are, and you will be talking to lots of people. And actually, hopefully all of your clinic and patients and doctors, everyone will listen to it and share the love and share your story, because you haven't shared your story in this way before, and how fabulous that you are, and all those things you're doing to help other people, you know, that are all troubled in different ways, and the young and men and women at all stages. And what a brilliant thing you're doing as a doctor. And I'm glad you fought so hard to continue to be one as you did. That's fantastic.
Well, I did have to fight, especially in Australia. I had to fight to get my medical. I've done my medical degree twice, to tell you the honest truth. I fought for it. And as a result, that's why I'm also here. And as a result, it's what I learned. And it's what I could give back.
You certainly are. You're giving back to so many. And thank you so much for sharing your amazing life and work, how you help so many others to deal with not feeling themselves, for bringing your wisdom and happiness, training, education, support and happy hormones as Gluck, meaning happiness, joy and love, to help men and women worldwide. We thank you. So stay safe. Thank you so much for your time today. This week's The Influential Women's Podcast is hosted, founded and presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman, with editing from assistant producer Dulcie Godfrey, with fond thanks to our team of previous producers, including Saffron Mirza and Juliet Nichols. Please direct message us to share your views on Influential Pod on Twitter or Influential_Women_Podcast on Instagram. Please share the podcast with others to join our tribe of influential women and men kicking ass to adversity. Thank you so much, Dr. Marion. Been a privilege to talk to you.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.